All right, rivals.com, March Madness betting. We are back. I had to bring in basketball recruiting director Rob Cassidy and a little bit of my old co-host from the Mush, football recruiting director Adam Gorney. What's going on, fellas?
Man, it is good to be here. I feel like I'm back on the football beat. I'm glad I'm here, though, because before we get into basketball, I do have a football thing for you, Adam Gorney. Yeah. I've been out of the football world, recruiting world for a while. What's happening with this Iowa dude in Alabama? And like, to get this straight, he just like took some NIL money, committed for a second, and then took the money back with him to Alabama? Why doesn't everyone do that?
You see some crazy things in basketball, but football is now eclipsed it in every way possible. Yeah. So he's from Iowa. He committed to Iowa, then decommitted from Iowa and went to Alabama at the last minute. Then played one season at Alabama, transferred back to Iowa, and 2 months later has now transferred back to Alabama. And the understanding is that any NIL money he got from Iowa, he can keep. There's nothing that could stop him from taking that money.
It's brilliant. You know, it's like NIL collectives hate this one weird trick. Everybody should be doing this. Like every single player should be doing this.
So, Rob, get this. The rumor was that Caden Proctor was the one that might have driven Nick Saban to retirement, because during the recruiting process, they asked what they were getting NIL wise, and Saban was like, "You're not getting anything, and I'm done with this." And that's why he committed to Iowa in the first place. But then things changed.
Yeah, this guy's my hero. Like, where's he from? Is he a Florida kid? He sounds like a Florida kid. He's from Iowa, though, right?
Iowa.
Spiritually, he's an honorary Miami kid.
Absolutely.
All right,
honorary.
Sorry to derail that.
No, that's all right. Yeah. All right, let's just let's start with the East. Obviously, we got the round of 64. Adam, we can start with you. Give me some the games to look out for. We can't go through all 64, but give me some of the big ones.
Yeah, this is the bracket that I hate the most because I don't have any upsets. And as you're going through it, I think my biggest upset right now is UAB over San Diego State. I like Andy Kennedy. I like them from his old days at Ole Miss. I trust San Diego State when they're like a 2 or 3 seed, but I get super nervous when they're a 5 seed, which means they're probably not that good. Now, I don't love that everybody agrees with me. 84% of the public is on UAB, but the money's following it that way, so I'll take a shot on UAB. Other than that, Stetson's going to get smoked. Florida, I like Florida Atlantic, even though some people don't think they should be in the tournament. Northwestern's tough, but I think FAU has too much athleticism. Yale has no chance against Auburn. BYU, Duquesne, send him into retirement. I'll go down the list so Rob knows. Illinois, Ohio State, although all the money is flowing into Morehead State for some reason. Maybe they like Phil Sims. I have Drake on a slight upset over Washington State, and then Iowa State taking care of South Dakota State.
I send him into retirement's good, and I think they will. You know, I live a couple blocks away from Duquesne's arena, and I went to a couple games this year. That is a hard team to watch sometimes. I went one of the games that I went to, they went 1 for 14 from the 3-point line against Fordham, and they won. So I had a hard time picking them for sure. It's the tough bracket though. You know, I think UConn is the class of that bracket by far. Everywhere else I could see maybe a 1 seed stumbling. That this UConn team is just too good though. You know, you look at, you know, yeah, you got an inside out with Tristan Newton, with Donovan Klingon that I don't think anybody can really match, especially on that side of the bracket. As a guy that likes to pick upsets, I'm kind of riding with you here. There aren't a ton that jump out to me there. I think San Diego State gets it done. I think that your Mountain West disrespect has been noted here. I think that's a great league. You know, I think Boise State's got a real good chance to win tonight. By the time anybody hears this, they'll probably have already lost now that I've said that. But not only do I think they have a good chance to win tonight, I think they got a chance to make a little bit of a run. That Mountain West was a tough league.
Yeah.
I actually like BYU here. I was going to ask you guys what your guys' thoughts on that. A little bit of the older team likes to shoot a lot of threes. They don't make a lot of threes, but sometimes that's when the magic happens in March Madness. But I don't think they're going to win it out. I mean, UConn, obviously, but I think BYU could be a sneaky pick to kind of make a run, maybe get into the round of 16, but then they have to go through Illinois. But I feel like Illinois or Iowa State always – Illinois for sure always feels like loses big recently. They always have a good team that can never really close.
Yeah, at least BYU is battle-tested, you know, having been in the Big 12. And when those threes aren't going, they can be a tough team. You know, you kind of live by the three and die by the three if you're them. Who did they play? They open with Duquesne, right?
Yes. Yeah, they open with Duquesne, and then they play the Illinois-Morehead State winner.
Yeah, everybody likes Morehead State. I think it's because of that Riley Mannix kid, who is, you know, a big-time scorer. I think he's a top 10 scorer in the country. But besides that, they don't really have a ton of depth. I don't like that upset pick as much as some people do, and not just because it's trendy. You know, I think Illinois will easily cruise into the Sweet 16 here.
90% of bets, 97% of the money on Morehead State to cover 13.5.
Ooh, that's a big number, though, in a first-round yeah. game. Listen, they may win. They may not win outright, but I like that. I like that a lot, plus 13.5 against the BYU team that if they aren't beating those three – oh, no, against Illinois. Well, still, 13.5 is a big number for a team that's yeah. a pretty darn good team with a pretty darn good player in Mannix.
Yeah, that's actually the bets I was looking at the most in the round of 64 was just the underdogs just to cover, because it just feels like the spread is just crazy. And like those easy dumb points, kind of what we did in football, Adam, those first couple weeks that we hated, was like, as long as they score one touchdown, they cover. I feel like that's almost the same strategy.
Yeah, what's there's the always that rule in the first round to always take underdogs of double digit points just down the board, and you'll end up higher just because. You know, a lot of these are going to be 9, 11-point wins, but there's not a ton of just blowouts anymore, you know?
Now, I have a buddy that last year took every underdog on the money line in the entire tournament and ended up, not by a lot, yeah. but ended up positive money, which is, you know, better than the alternative, I guess.
And that, and from my quick look, we can go through all the other brackets, but he's like the under kind of feels like a heavy play this year, too. Seems like the lines are really high. Like, even yesterday what was yesterday's game? Virginia was way under, wasn't it? Like way under. Yeah,
they scored like 118 points, Corey. Yeah, it was.
No, but like even the other game wasn't very high either.
Yeah, no, the over under in that game was 130, and the lowest the game has been in the NCAA tournament is like 122, and it was like 116 or something. It was embarrassing.
You know, that's like the game last night. I know not to look backwards. We should be looking forward. That's the game every year where all the most annoying like NBA people on Twitter are like, how do you guys watch college basketball? And it's like every game is Virginia. You know, like, and it's just insufferable. You know, they pick it, and every year they find Virginia on their televisions and use it to be like to become basketball snobs. It drives me crazy.
But, Rob, you're telling me St. John's or Pittsburgh couldn't have put up a better fight against Colorado State? Virginia only got in that game because it's Virginia. They were terrible.
Don't get me started on St. John's. They deserve to be in. It's targeted harassment of an Italian-American coach.
There it is.
Clear as day. Joel Soriano should be taking this morning. But, yeah, I they shouldn't have been in. And also, I'm kind of happy Indiana State didn't get in, because that was the other one everybody's, like, put in. And they just wanted to put them in because they're a meme team. Like, I think it's like, oh, there's a chubby guy with glasses. And that's, like, the metric. Like,
some of us on this call feel like we were kind of him if I got to play college basketball. That's who I felt like.
Listen, you are much better looking than him. I'm closer to him than you are.
But hey, same frame.
Rob, I will say, though, if your millionaire coach is bellyaching about not having fun coaching the team like Rick Pitino did about 3 weeks ago, come on, give me a break. Get out of here.
Yeah, I don't know. And everybody's like, oh, strategy master. You know, he called his team out and they responded. It's like, no, I think he's just talking to talk.
I think he's just a mad 71-year-old, yeah.
Wait, Rob, before we move on to the other brackets, what about, like, St. John, all those schools dropping out of the other tournament? We haven't really
why do it? You know, the NIT at this point, I don't think, you know, like a lot of my friends went to Kansas State. They played in the NIT last night. Nobody watched. So just, you know, start recruiting. You know, everybody wants to get a jump on the portal because people are going in there because the timing of that's all weird. And if you're game planning for a meaningless exhibition game against God knows who in the NIT, I don't even know who's in it. You're giving up time to be building towards next year. And so, you know, when the portal and the tournaments are running congruent, this is kind of what you get.
Yeah, true. All right, let's move down. I'm on the Yahoo Fantasy Pick'em brackets. We'll go right down to the West. Probably one of my favorite, just because it feels like it could go any sort of direction. Adam, you want to start off? You want me to pick out a couple teams? What are you thinking?
In the West bracket, I'm going to take a look right now and then formulate my thoughts really quickly here.
What's everyone's favorite game? I'll start real quick. Everyone's favorite game is going to probably be Arizona and Long Beach State. The famous coach gets fired. We're doing this for free. We're with the coach. I actually like Long Beach State only because I think they're like a 25-point underdog. Just something to cover. And I feel like the Disney story of we're going to do this for coach could maybe just keep them in the game and lose by 15 and we cover.
Yeah, there's nothing that I would like more than Long Beach State to win in this game. And, like, you know, anytime this guy can thumb his nose at authority, I'm all for it. But they are going to get absolutely destroyed by Arizona. Whatever that isn't high enough, buddy.
Dan Linson is he's going into retirement right now. The other game that everybody's on in this one is Grand Canyon over St. Mary's. And that's an interesting one just because – is it really an upset pick if everybody's picking it? You know what I mean? Like 66% of the bets, 91% of the money is on Grand Canyon to cover 5.5, and the line hasn't moved, which makes me think Vegas is collecting all that money and St. Mary's is going to win this game by 6 points.
I like St. Mary's here. I actually watch a lot of these West Coast teams a lot because I get done with my real world responsibilities of work and, you know, everything else. And that's the only thing on by the time I can sit down. So I've watched them a ton this year. You know, they're also a little bit of a live by the three situation. They're not as heavy 3-point shooting team as they have been in the past, but they still chuck it up a lot. And that's kind of a recipe for either running somebody on the building or ending up on the short side of an upset. And I think to your point, Gorney, I think we've been schooled. I think that, like, picking tournament brackets has become such like a science that everybody, every 5-12 game and every game like that, all the money is going to be on the underdog, because I think we've convinced ourselves through whether that's true or not, that, you know, those are the smart plays, when it's possible that those are the square plays now, right? It's because you know, once the smart bettors become the squares, you know, it's, and I think that's kind of where we're at with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly my point. And you just said it better because you're better with words, but I think this is a bracket that could actually kind of upend a lot of stuff. Charleston, I think, is an interesting game against Alabama, 4-13. New Mexico, 11 against Clemson, 6. Clemson, I just don't buy all that much and can get upset. And then the bottom of the bracket, Baylor, Colgate. I mean, Baylor will brush their teeth with those guys. Nevada, Dayton is a kind of a toss-up, and then Arizona's a blowout. So looks like Arizona might run into some problems once they get to Baylor, if Baylor gets that far. I'm not unconvinced that New Mexico can't be the team that gets that far.
Well, listen, we're going to bet on a different Pitino, I guess. You know where I stand. You know, the coach's last name is Pitino. I'm in. I actually have St. Mary's in the Final Four.
Nice. I think that's all I have.
I think that bracket's a little underwhelming. Arizona's a very good basketball team. But I think they're the heavy hitter there. And if they get tripped up early, which they could, it opens up pretty nicely for the Gaels, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, is St. Mary's really that good, or was Gonzaga just down and now St. Mary's looks good? That's the question I think we're going to find out.
You know, I was looking at their schedule, writing something earlier this week. They've got a loss to another tournament team, and I cannot remember who it is that isn't in the WCC. Can you pull their schedule up, Corey, real quick?
Yeah,
They lost to somebody in, like, December in a pretty tight game that is in this field. I just, you know, I should be a little bit more prepared than I am right now, but we've got a million conference calls today.
They lost to San Diego State by 25.
Yeah, is there another one in there too?
They lost to Xavier by 17, Utah by 6, Boise by 3. This is not a perfect basketball team here.
No. Boise's a good team now. That's another one of my Sweet 16 picks. I really do like them. No, they're not perfect at all. They really have not been tested. They've got the 2 wins over Gonzaga, and that's kind of what they hang their hat on, I think. And it's not a great Gonzaga team. It's a good Gonzaga team, maybe a little bit better than some people think it is, but it's not your traditional, of the last 5 years, powerhouse Bulldog.
Yeah.
What about North Carolina? We're kind of skipping over the one seed. I mean, I don't think they're the best one seed. Like, they have some good moments, but I that's why I think I agree with you guys. It's kind of anyone's bracket down there.
You know, they've got some veteran leadership, obviously, Baycott. I'm a little bit, you know, their point guard Elliott Cadoux is fun. He's young. He's actually an old freshman. You know, I don't know. He's a freshman, but like he's 20. So I don't know whether that's a veteran or whether that's young in today's day and age. But, you know, it's one of the two. He's either old or young, depending on which way you want to spin it. But he makes some pretty impressive like passes, like how did you see that? But then also sometimes he'll throw the ball into the third row unforced. It's a little erratic with him right now. But when he's good, that team is great. And when he's not great, the ball kind of sticks. And that's when they kind of get themselves in trouble.
Yeah, what I like
themselves in trouble against NC State. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. What I like about North Carolina in this spot is that it's not a great bracket. And two, they're pissed they lost to NC State. And so they're refocused maybe. And I'm convinced that a lot of teams in conference tournaments are either losing intentionally or kind of not really trying to win the thing to either get more rest or to get their team refocused. Now, I don't know if Hubert Davis did that. NC State's a good basketball team, but I think they're super mad about how that played out. Losing to them like that hurt, and so they're going to be focused. Plus Wagner in that first round. Oh, my God. I would take North Carolina. Wagner is not good.
Right. I'm starting to think that, listen, between the Pitino stuff and now the Staten Island hate, this is an anti-Italian podcast. You know, boy, the only team from Staten Island ever qualified for the NCAA tournament, and we're out here crapping on them. I thought you were a Northeasterner. What happened?
24 and a half point underdogs. I actually, Jesus.
They're not good. They're not.
No, they're not good.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to the Midwest. Another great bracket. I mean, they're all great, obviously, but Purdue, Kansas, Samford, Oregon, yeah. Green, Texas, Tennessee, St. Peter's is back.
Let's talk about the Jayhawks. It's Jayhawk chatter time. You want to talk about a popular upset?
Yeah.
Everybody likes Samford. I am taking the Jays, even without Kevin McCullough. I never thought I would be in a situation where taking Bill Self in a game against a mid-major felt like I was on a limb. But even without McCullough, I feel like they've got – this is not a deep Kansas team, even without those two stars. They've had their problems, even when those guys are healthy, and Dickinson will be back. You don't know if he'll be 100%. But they've got enough to beat this team. I watched this team twice, the Stanford team twice. They don't have the athletes to run up and down the court with Kansas. They just don't. And, you know, maybe it's close at the end. Maybe they cover. What's the number? I don't know what the number
is. 9.5.
Ooh, yeah, it might be a little – that might be a good play. I think the Jayhawks win. I like the Kansas money line, but – I would not besmirch somebody for taking that 9.5.
Yeah, in what you talk about, Rob, how these sharp upset picks are now basically the square upset picks because everybody's on them, 89% of the bets are on Samford. So everybody's just looking to be the smart guy, and a lot of times that is not going to be the way it plays out. So yeah. the other one that's the sharp one is McNeese State over Gonzaga. Now, you know, Will Wade, you know, might have some strong ass offers out to these guys. If you're on an FBI wiretap, you're not afraid of Gonzaga. Okay. but you know, again, the majority of the bets, 77% of the money is on McNeese +6. I don't know. I think Mark Few can kind of coach circles around those guys and get that win pretty comfortably.
The one thing that gives me pause in that game is that McNeese State plays defense. They play Houston-like defense. I think they're like ranked in the top 10 in points per game average and adjusted. And they could muddy this up in a way to where like, ew, nobody's ever going to want to watch it. But it could be close at the end just because playing that team is hard. Also, the thing about McNeese State that really makes me laugh. Corey, do me a favor and pull up the McNeese State non-conference schedule. Really dig into some of those teams they played in the non-conference.
They didn't really test themselves much. No. Huh?
Okay. There is a team on there that is like so-and-so's college for women, but they also have a men's team. But in the name of the college, like these are schools that, I mean, they're not D2. They're schools I've never heard of a lot of. Are you seeing it, Corey? Read some of those great names out of there.
Wait, hang on. I'm trying to find it. One second. Sorry.
I got it right now. Let me pull it up here.
I mean, talking about, it might be one of the most untested teams in the country. Like, that non-conference schedule is legitimately funny.
They played Champion Christian, which is – which is definitely a high school that is importing players. The College of Biblical Studies, Laterno, yeah. Western Carolina. They lost to Western Carolina by 2. Mississippi University for Women.
But the men's team. I mean,
yes, but they're a men's team. Yes, but-
yeah, that's crazy. You thought I was joking when I said that. No, they played them, man. It's a – so when you read like, oh, this is an untested McNeese team, they mean that. Like,
yeah. No, I'm not buying this. I'm not buying this. Yeah. And the defense comment is a perfect segue for Will Wade locking up, like locked up because like he got locked, people locked up. And, you know, I think Will Wade is
going to be. How long do we think Will Wade is going to be the coach of McNeese? Right, like another few weeks, or do we think we got another year?
If he beats Gonzaga, he gets a bigger job in a second. Yeah,
he gets. Yeah, he just got an extension, but not that that matters anymore. You know?
Yeah. So yeah, this other bracket, it's interesting. I think Purdue kind of rolls. Utah State, TCU could actually be one of those 8-9 games that no one cares about. That's actually a actually good basketball game. South Carolina, Oregon, Creighton, Akron. I think Creighton kind of has a situation here where they can get to the Final Four. Tennessee is in that bracket. Colorado State has to come back and play Texas. But Colorado State, I mean, they played about 22 minutes of basketball last night before they shut it down and just cruised.
It's true. That's true. Tennessee, if you watch much of Tennessee, they've got Dalton Knecht, who is a transfer from Northern Colorado, and was actually, I believe, in the either JUCO or the NAIA before that. And somehow his numbers have gotten better since moving to the SEC.
Yeah.
He's really, you know, he's PYC. He was on the fringe of draft boards before the year, and now he's, like, looking like a top 15 pick. He's one of the greatest stories in college basketball this year, and he's electric. And he, as he goes, Tennessee kind of goes.
Yeah.
I was actually going to say Tennessee's one of my picks because in my Joe takes, I actually like when – there's one big, big scorer on the team, and it's like he has the biggest green light I've ever seen. Like he'll shoot it from anywhere, and I love those guys like deep in the tournament to make big runs because there's always you know who's going to get the ball, and that's big. Like I love that in March Madness.
Oh, Corey, are you going to love the Nebraska Cornhuskers?
No, I already know. we'll go up to the South, but the problem is, going into this, Texas A&M was my sneaky pick because I feel like they win big games and. Whatever. Now they're playing Nebraska, who was also one of my favorite teams this year. So yeah, they're fun. I don't know what to do.
They're fun. Hoiberg, they've never won an NCAA tournament game. So it feels like this is the time. And people are going to fall in love with that Japanese guard. I don't want to pronounce the name wrong. Is it somebody pull it up here. I think it's, I don't want to pronounce it wrong.
I'm notorious.
So I'm looking at the biggest flip bets. And Rob, we do this on the football podcast. The teams that are where the bets are the heaviest on the public, but the money is the heaviest on the opposite side. That means to me that the sharp bettors are against the public in those games. Yep. Those games right now are Utah State. The public loves TCU, but the sharp money is on Utah State.
Mountain
the
West.
Biggest one is Yale over Auburn. And maybe that's just because Yale will kind of slow it down and make it choppy and not lose by 12, but the public is 54-46 on Auburn. 86% of the money is on Yale, though.
Yale has got one of these dudes whose name I've forgotten, but he's one of these seven-footers that kind of stretches the floor and can shoot it from the outside. It can score to the mid-range. And there aren't a lot of college teams, including Auburn, that are really prepared to deal with a guy like that if he gets hot. It's just a unique skill set. You know, it's a common skill set in the NBA, but it's a little bit unique, and maybe that's the reason they like Yale.
Yeah, for the bettors out there, be patient because a lot of those flip games are on Friday. On Thursday, the only one that really is like that is like we've talked about already is Arizona at -21. The public is about 50-50 split, but 63% of the money on Arizona. There's got to be a sharp bet coming in somewhere there on the Wildcats to make that one the 88-61 kind of game.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough one to watch, I think. I mean, expect an absolute blowout there.
Rob, I think his name is Danny Wolf from Yale.
Yeah, that's the Yale guy. That's definitely not the Japanese guy.
No, I'm not going to pronounce that name.
But
going back, though, is Houston, like, just the heavy's favorite to win it all? I mean, could anyone really UConn. Beat Houston?
UConn is the heavy favorite to win it all, I think.
I think Houston's the player, but...
Yeah, they're so relying on defense. Houston, you know, I guess when your offense fails, I mean, but can they score enough if they get into one of these high-level games with UConn?
Yeah.
I don't know that they want to be in that kind of game. It's one thing to do it against an injured Kansas team and to beat up on even Iowa State when you have the chance, even though they got smacked by the Cyclones in the Big 12 championship game. I believe the Big 12 to be the best league in the country, top to bottom. But I don't know if they have an elite team other than Houston. But, you know, usually it would be Kansas. I don't think Baylor's particularly great this year. They're a good team. They're not great. But they haven't really run into – it's been a while anyway since they've run into to a truly top team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and then that's the thing too. I mean, that bracket for UConn is pretty – it's set up for UConn to do pretty well, you know, throughout. I don't see many tests there. So – That Houston bracket, though, let's run it down very quickly, because it could get tricky for them. If I like Nebraska over A&M in that first round game, and if Nebraska can shoot it, that could be an interesting round of 32 game. Yeah. James Madison, again, is a kind of a trendy upset pick over Wisconsin. You know, Duke gets Vermont, and, you know, Filipowski will take care of the maple syrup slow white kids from Vermont. We all know that. Texas Tech, NC State. I think NC State has just run out of gas. If they still have gas in the tank, we'll see. But coming up from the low is way easier than staying up that high and preparing for a decent Texas Tech team. Kentucky, I like in this bracket. Reed Shepard is fun to watch, man. Where should we rank him? He is so great.
Listen, I will. You know, we didn't have him nearly high enough, but we had him higher than everybody else. You know, I think I had him in the 40s. I think everybody else had him in the. I had him in the 30s or 40s. Everybody else had him in the 60s or 70s. He's great. He's like a Kentucky. You know, he's from Kentucky. His dad went to Kentucky. It's like a Lexington. It's like a BBN wet dream down there. You know,
I saw them against Tennessee in preparation of this podcast, and firing up threes, making them all look like Adam Gorney back in the day out there.
Listen, I can, as somebody that's played with you, Adam, I can attest, Adam can fill it up. Do you know Adam is the all-time assist leader in his high school? Corey, there's that Adam Gorney fact.
That is, I have heard about it. I've not seen the evidence of it. He said he was going to take a picture of the plaque next time he's in town, but we're waiting to see.
Yeah. The name is carved in a plaque, all time assist leader at the school and 1,000-point scorer.
Can't take that away from him. What's the name of the school again? Now that I live in Pennsylvania, I'm kind of close. I'm gonna stop.
You live in uppity suburban Pittsburgh, but I'm from Coal Crack in Northeast Pennsylvania.
I do not live in suburban Pittsburgh. I live in Lawrenceville, baby. I live in rough and tumble in the city. There's a dog bakery on the corner of the street. a literal bakery for dogs.
Yeah. Yeah, our high school was really good. We had a very good team, a lot of structure, ran good offense. But then we started playing those Harrisburg and Philly teams, and we ran into some trouble, you know, in the state.
Yeah, there's some athletes out there.
Yeah, there's some athletes down there.
Damn. All right, before we wrap up the podcast, we'll do what we do in the football Gorney. Let's do locks of the tourney, I guess, like first 64. Like, what's – if you got to take a bet, Rob, who would it be to, like, tell everyone what is the lock? We'll three pick one then wrap up.
I think it's Arizona and the big spread. I think that they can cover 40 if they want to. I like that. I also really kind of like Mittany State to cover that spread just because of the defense and how they will muddle it up. Now, I do know that they played, as we outlined, their non-conference schedule, but I think that they can make that game just gross enough to watch that it could be close down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm going to take Arizona, BYU, and then the game that is just off of complete principle – and I don't know anything about, but 92% of the bets and 99% of the money is on Drake +1.5. So if literally every bet is on one team, I'll take the other side just because the masses are asses.
Man, at +1.5, there's that much money on Drake?
Yeah. Maybe Drake is the one who put the money on it. Maybe he thinks he's playing.
Boy. Yeah, you're right. That's a principal play on the other end. I don't know if there's any science behind it, but I am with you there.
Yeah.
All right, I'll go Kentucky, Tennessee, and who would I like down here? I'll flip it. I'll go Long Beach State. I like that pick, Rob. I know you like Arizona, but I'm taking just the spread. Like, I think they're going to cover.
Listen, I appreciate the I appreciate the thought behind that too, because as the only pro labor podcast in the world, I do support the coach that's been fired here. It's just he's going to run into a buzzsaw with Tommy Lloyd and the Wildcats.
The other one I like is Utah State. The public loves TCU. The money's flowing in on Utah State. There's a sharp action bet, a big money bet, and a pro systems bet. Whatever that means, it looks like Utah State is going to win that game, or at least cover 2.5.
Listen, I'm a Mountain West advocate. You're not going to sell me.
All right, should we wrap it up?
Good for me.
All right. That's Rob Cassidy. That's Adam Gorney. I'm Corey Gibson. Please follow Rivals on Twitter, Instagram, to follow all the tournament updates. Please follow the guys on social media, rivals.com, for all the news, latest stories in recruiting or in basketball, recruiting or the March Madness. So thanks, fellas.